Ellen started to yawn. And I thought, oh, not yet, I haven't even begun. And then Marty was talking about in an hour or so, and I was going like this. I've got a 2-hour message. So, the God is good. Amen? And it is good to see each and every one of you this morning. Friends, I wonder as we come to the last Sunday of 2019, and oh, what a year it has been, amen? But let me ask you, how many of you have gone through a job review, some form of performance review in this past year? If you have, just slip up your hand and say, yeah, I've been through that. That's great to know. And because the reason I ask this question is, I'm certain that every single one of us, at one time or another, we've all heard the command of the Holy Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Do you realize or do you know that each one of us, no matter what our age, gets viewed and reviewed day by day with God? You see, the Bible teaches, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. One day, and it could be sooner than you think, every one of us is going to give an account of ourselves to God. In other words, picture this, if you will. You and God are going to sit down together, and God is going to review your performance. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat, and God is going to examine our lives with us to see what we did with the life that He gave us. Did we use it to glorify Him, or did we waste our opportunities? Now understand, for the Christian, and this is just absolutely wonderful news. If you're a child of God today, when you stand before God, it's not going to be to give an account for your sin. Listen, if you've repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And what's more than that? God has removed our sins so as far as the east is from the west that He doesn't even remember them no more. Oh, the blessing of being a child of God this morning, amen? Listen to me. Praise God. Praise God we've been forgiven. Praise God we don't have to remember all the stupid things we've done and stand up and give a dumb account with a bunch of excuses for why we did what we knew we shouldn't have done. Whew, glad I got that off my chest. But we must still appear. We must still appear. And picture this. There you are, standing and sitting before Almighty God. And you're going to be rewarded for the good we did. Hallelujah for that. Thank the Lord for that. But friend, we're going to suffer loss for the things we did with the wrong heart motives. And so you see, it would do us well to examine ourselves as the Holy Scriptures encourages us. Let me ask you, are you serving the Lord as God would have you to serve Him? Are you giving your all to Jesus because Jesus gave His all for you? Listen, there's not a single excuse that we'll ever be able to give that's going to hold any water with Almighty God. No matter what is going on in church life, we can't find an excuse because the Bible says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And He's our example. And oh, hallelujah, thank God for the way He served us. So you see, you and I need to understand, part of our review is going to be, how did we use what God gave us to serve Him, to glorify Him? That's going to be a part of it. It is always wise to take stock and to see where you stand and how far you have come in the past year. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, be finding the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, Acts chapter 9. We'll give you a moment to get there. And then rise if you are able as we honor the Lord with the reading of His precious word this morning. And the word of our Lord says this, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciple of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Father God, we just thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh Lord, what a day that you have created, a day to worship you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. And Lord, we just praise you today. But Lord, as we have come into this sanctuary to sing our praises unto you, as we are here now hearing your word, Lord, may you do what only you can do. May your Spirit take your word not only to our ear, but right on down to our heart, the only place it will do us any good. Lord, I ask today that each and every one of us would be brave enough, if we can picture it, to take our heart and just lay it out before you. And Lord, may your Spirit speak unto us. Where we're doing well, encourage us. Where we're coming up short, convict us. Lord, that when we leave this place, we would be all that you would have us to be in Christ Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to understand something this morning. Our text introduces us to two great questions. In fact, I think they're the two greatest questions that any person could ever ask. Who are you, Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do? As sure as I'm standing before you this morning, I can tell you two things that I know God wants you to do. First, if you've not yet done so, He wants you to repent and be saved today. Listen, you might not have another day. There's but a step between us and death. Don't gamble with your life. All gamblers lose. Don't gamble. Get right with Jesus today. There's a second thing I know that God wants from us, and that is to grow, because He had the Apostle Peter write down God's command for us, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Listen, in the past year, you've heard me say that verse at least once every single Sunday. And here's why. Because it is God's desire for you and I to be growing in our walk with Him. And the only growth available to you and I as a child of God is a thing called spiritual growth. Have you ever stopped long enough? Because I know life is busy for you, and we get a going in this world, and sometimes we get a going just too much that we never stop to think about the deep things of life. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, have you ever stopped long enough to consider what spiritual growth means? Here's what I believe it means. First, I believe it means we ought to know more of God's Word now than we did at the beginning of our walk with Him. Listen, I don't know what age you may have been saved. I pray you are saved. But friend, if you were saved at 11, 12, and you're up there in your 50s, you ought to know more of God's Word now than you did back when you was a little baby. But I'm telling you, we need to be growing. We need to know what the Word of God says. And so I want to ask you this morning, the second thing, every single one of us ought to be able to look back at this past year and evaluate our lives to see whether or not we've become more like Jesus Christ. You see, if you're a child of God this morning, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Is your light shining for Jesus, or is it hid under a bushel basket? Friends, when people look at you, do they see you being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ Himself? Because it is God's desire that we be conformed into the image of His Son. Is the light shining, or is your light just a little bit dark? Are you creating a thirst in people and a hunger for them to come to know Jesus Christ? See, we ought to know these things. We ought to be saying, hallelujah, here I am on the last Sunday of 2019, and praise God, I'm closer to God today than I was on the first Sunday of 2019. Hallelujah, I'm looking more like Jesus every day because He's at work in me. Is God working in you this morning? Oh, friend, listen to me. God forbid if we should assume we know enough about God and His ways. You see, the Bible continually encourages us to have a teachable spirit. In fact, the only way that you and I can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior is if we are willing to be taught. I still remember a deacon a few years ago in another church as I was interviewing for a position there. And he said, Pastor Don, I just want to know one thing. Are you teachable? Oh, friend, what an excellent question. Am I teachable? Oh, hallelujah, I'd love to think that I am, and I'm still learning even today. But friend, do you realize what the opposite is of someone who isn't teachable? It's someone who thinks they know it all. Do you know some know-it-alls this morning? Oh, I hope you're teachable and not a know-it-all. Our text today brings us face to face with someone who thought they knew it all. And yet they're about to discover they don't know a thing. They're about to discover that all they thought was right was wrong. And I can think of nothing worse than believing you're doing right only to discover you're doing wrong. That's why we should embrace opportunities for accountability, because one thing is for certain, God is going to hold us accountable. You see, God is going to do a personal review. In fact, He does every day of our lives, because the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Whew. Is your heart loyal to Him? That's a tough question. Some of y'all may have to chew on that for a while. Are you as loyal as you ought to be to Almighty God? I believe that's another question He might ask us when we stand before Him. Friends, there are two great questions men, women, and children need to be asking today. Who are you, Lord? And Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, friend, if you don't know God today, let me share with you quickly what He wants you to do. He wants you to understand, first of all, that He has no pleasure in a soul that dies without Him. Oh, I know many people today believe that God's going to send so-and-so to hell, but also understand this thoroughly and truly and biblically, God has never sent a single soul to hell. The Bible says, Matthew 25:41, the hell was created for the devil and his angels. So why does a man, woman, or child end up going to a place called hell? I'll tell you why. It's because they reject the very means that God has provided. Picture this, if you will. God has provided the cross of Jesus Christ so that men might repent of their sin, be washed in the blood, and be saved. But someone says, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. And here's what they do. They step themselves right over the very bridge that God has provided. And a man or woman or a child who rejects Jesus Christ walks themselves right on down into the fire of the hell. God does not send people to hell. People send people to hell because they reject the way, the truth, and the life that is found in Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something. God has no pleasure in that. So that means then that God is full of love, He's full of grace, and He's full of mercy. Oh, the mercy of the Lord. And God wants you to think about that this morning. How wonderful the love of God is. Oh, I know you probably think you're the cat's meow, don't you? You probably looked in the mirror this morning and said, oh, Lord, it's another day. Look how good I look today. But I want you to know something. You were filled with sin. You and I fall short of the glory of God. You and I, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it means all, it means all. That means I've sinned, you've sinned, the whole world has sinned. Oh, how we need a Savior today. And God loves you so much that even in your filthiness, in your wretchedness, because that's what sin creates in us. Do you want to know how bad sin is? I'll tell you how bad sin is. Sin is so bad that when Jesus hung on the cross, He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You want to know why He cried that out? Because God hates sin so much that He will not look at it. For the first time in the Son's life, the eyes of the Father were no longer on Him because all the sin of the world had been put upon Him. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Friend, if you're saved or lost this morning, you better count your lucky amens. And I don't like to use the word luck, but it just slipped right out there. But you better say amen. Because if you're here this morning or you're listening on that YouTube, it's by God's grace you're having an opportunity to hear this message this morning that you might get your heart totally right with God. Listen to me. God has provided a Savior because every man, woman, or child is in dire need of a Savior. God wants you to know He is a God who loves you, a God who has provided a way for all people to be saved, and that's why He wants you to repent and place your faith and trust in Him. Do you know the Savior today? I'm not asking about, do you know about Jesus? I'm asking, do you know Jesus? I got to thinking about that. It's so easy in this world today to claim that we know somebody, isn't it? That's not the real question, is it? The real question is, does Jesus know you? Are you a child of God? Are you living like it? It's easy to talk it. Many people do. But are you living like a child of the living Lord? You see, do you know Jesus? Are you getting to know your Savior better every day? Some of you might be saying out there, well, I don't know how. Well, I'll tell you how. You get in your Bible and you begin growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Him. What about religious persons of our day? And there are many. There are many. Oh, friends, there are so many who inhabit the church who are religious. They're about 12 inches from being saved. They got it all up here, but it's never really touched them right here. They got a head full of facts, but a heart devoid of transformation. Oh, simply because, and this is their choice, they have no desire to know God. Let that sink in for just a moment. How faithful were you in attending your church in the past year? You know, some old people like to put out there on church signs, members expected, visitors welcome. Why would somebody put that on a church sign? It's because all that does is say, the members here are unfaithful. Friend, how faithful were you in the past year? This was Saul's problem. He had a head filled with facts, but a heart devoid of knowledge. He didn't know Jesus. He thought he knew God. Oh, how he claimed to know God, but he didn't know God at all. He had no desire to know God. Family and friends, don't you see this was his problem? You see, before he became the great Apostle Paul, he was just plain old Saul. A religious man who by the grace of God got a life experience review by God. What does that mean? That means that Paul didn't die to see God. The Bible tells us he saw the light. And oh, friend, when he saw the light, he discovered he lacked the forgiveness of his sins and salvation in Jesus Christ. He knew all about religion, and there are many like him today, but he knew nothing of Christ, and thus in reality, he knew nothing of God. Why else, when he saw the light, would he be down on his knees crying out, "Who are you, Lord?" Lord, what do you want me to do? Can you imagine with me for one moment having spent your entire life in church being religious only to discover as you come to the end of your days and now there you are, you've stepped off into eternity. And there you are before Almighty God, and you're discovering that religion will not get a man home to heaven. Friends, Jesus saves, not the church. Going to church won't save anybody, and I pray for those today whom Satan is convinced it will. Just go to church and you're good to go. Oh, friend, going to church won't save anybody. Jesus saves. Do you know the risen Lord? Saul's problem was that he thought he knew religion. That's all he knew. He knew religion, but he didn't know the Lord. You see, Saul was a wonderful Pharisee, perhaps the best of the Pharisees. But religion does not save. The truth is, all religion does is cause one to deny the very means of salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. Religion is about rules to keep. But if a man could be saved by keeping a few rules, God would never have allowed his son to die on the cross. Yet there are a whole lot of folks today who believe if they can keep a few rules, God will accept them. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because here is Saul, a Pharisee. He's a devout, religious man. As a matter of fact, he's more faithful than you or I have ever been. Say amen. Because it's true. And what's he doing? He's breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He sought letters so he could go to Damascus and find any of the way. Because the way is the name they gave to Christians back then. And Saul wants to bring them bound to Jerusalem. Family and friends, some Christians were put in prison. Others were put to death. And that same thing is going on today. And the Lord spoke to him. And immediately he cried out, "Who are you, Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the Jesus whom thou art persecuting." And Saul asked that second great question, "What do you want me to do?" Friend, would you agree with me those are two great questions we ought to be asking today? By God's grace, Saul became Paul. And Paul spent the rest of his life learning the answers to those two great questions. Do you know the answers to those questions for your life? Do you know who the Lord is? Do you know what it is that God wants you to do? Young people, are you on the path that God wants for you? Please understand the will of God is found in the Word of God, and our text today makes that abundantly clear. And if we're not reading the Word of God, we are certainly not in the will of God simply because we've no idea what God's will is for us. Saul asked, "What will you have me to do?" And God said, "Arise and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." God, in other words, would send word. And family and friends, God has sent His Word into this world so that you and I might get in here and know exactly what it is that He wants us to do. I pray you are holding His Word in your hands as we stood to honor the Lord this morning. Friend, God is going to hold us accountable for what we did with this Word. We are without excuse. None of us can claim to be in the will of God if we're not reading the Word of God. And I think many folks are going to be like Saul one day. One day God is going to show them what His will was for their lives. And the reason they'll have missed it because they didn't read the Word of God to know what His will is. How many Christians do you know, or people who claim to be a Christian, and you've asked this question, do you go to church? Do you read the Bible? And they come back with the answer, no and no. Friend, how could anybody truly be saved if they're not in the Word of God and they don't know the God of the Word? The will of God is found in the Word of God. And if you don't spend time in the Word of God, you're never going to know what the will of God is for your life. And you're going to miss the abundant life that Jesus has promised. Listen, there's a whole lot of people today who may want to know the will of God, and I hope that you're one of them, but we need to understand God's Word says we'll never discover the will of God in and of ourselves. Jeremiah wrote, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah 10:23. That being true then, we cannot know the will of God apart from the Word of God. But praise God, friend, God wants us to know His will. Listen. Saul asked those two great questions. And God gave him three great promises. Those promises are available to us today. First, God showed him guidance is promised. If you're a child of God, please understand that God wants to direct your steps. We all know the Bible verse, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." That's what God wants to do. God wants to direct your life. It's the reason He's given us His Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. God told him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Someone might say, "Pastor, that was God's promise for Saul." Well, friend, I reply, what does the Word of God teach us? It teaches us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. In other words, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. In fact, the Bible also says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way," Psalm 37:23. Moreover, God also says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye," Psalm 32:8. We are without excuse because God has promised us guidance. So you see, God has a will for each one of us. Have you asked God for His guidance in knowing His will for your life? He's promised it to you. God wants us also to know guidance is provisional. Listen, God's not going to force His will on any one of us. He loves us too much. That means if we want to know God's will, we must be willing to know it. Saul said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Friend, are you really willing to do the will of God? Listen, I'll use this as an illustration. Sometimes people want to build a house, but they already have in mind what they want that house to look like. And I'm afraid that's how we too often come to God. "Lord, here's what I want. Now you go out and design it for me. You do what I tell you, Lord. Because after all, this is what I want." You know what? As a young Christian, I did that. I spent 25 years playing a fool. Because I said, "Lord, here's my plan. Now make it happen for me." Do you know what I was really doing? I was asking God to conform His will to my will. You know, I heard about a story about a vagabond once who traveled around the country, and somebody asked him, "How do you decide where to go?" He replied, "It really doesn't make any difference to me. I just go." So they said, "What happens when you come to a fork in the road? How do you know which way to go?" He says, "Well, you see, I just pick a stick up and I throw it up in the air, and whichever way it lands, that's the way I go." Now, mind you, friends, sometimes I got to pick that stick up 6 or 7 times to get it in the direction I want to go. Let's be honest, a lot of us are that way, aren't we? We say we want the will of God, but we just keep throwing our stick up in the air until it lands in the direction we want to go. We all must ask ourselves the question, am I really willing to know the will of God for my life? Elijah desired to know it. And God told this to Elijah, "I speak in a still, small voice." Friends, if God speaks in a still, small voice, do you realize we're going to have to be quiet to hear it? Do you have a quiet time? Most folks don't. The radio, the television, the internet, the texting, the talking on the phone, the video games, noise is always going on. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they did all the talking and now they're ready to go and they turn to you and say, "Man, it's been great talking to you that day," and you're sitting there left wondering, "What? They did all the talking. We didn't talk at all." And that's how it is with God, isn't it? Oftentimes we just ask God, we tell God, we pray to God, but we never stop to listen to God. Friends, for prayer to be prayer, we must listen as well. Do we listen when we pray? You see, God wants us to know guidance is promise, guidance is provisional, and the last thing God wants us to know is this: guidance is practical. See, too many today want Saul's experience. They want the miracle, they want the bright lights, but that's not the normative way. I don't want to discount miracles because in rare instances such as this, the Lord uses them to gain a person's ear so they can hear. Saul received a privilege that I doubt any of us will receive. He met the risen Lord. He saw the light. He saw Jesus Christ. He passes the test of what an apostle had to do. But friend, that's just not the normative way. That's why the Bible says today that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you have an ear to hear the Word of God? That's the normative way. And it has the reason Jesus always prayed when He preached, "He who has an ear, let him hear." God used the miracle to gain the ear of Saul, but friend, then He spoke the Word. You have the Word of God here today. You have opportunity to read the Word of God every day. You have an opportunity to increase your faith because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. But let's also remember something about Saul. He was present at the stoning of Stephen. He'd heard Stephen preach the Word. But it didn't come together for him until he heard the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself, speaking to him. Family and friends, God says this about His Word: "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Saul asked two great questions. "Who are You, Lord? Lord, what will You have me do?" When Saul met the risen Lord, he understood very quickly his need for a Savior and his need for guidance. Do you understand that? If you listen, say amen. God will not force Himself on us. We are free to choose. But we don't get to get away with not choosing, because you choose not to choose, as some people do, doesn't mean you've not made a choice. Friend, you have. What you're not free to choose is the consequences of your choice. You make a choice. And each and every one of us do it every single day. We make a choice. And the truth is, once we've made our choice, the choice chooses the consequences for us. Listen, we're all free to go up in a 10-story building and jump out the window. God says we're free to choose, but we're not free not to choose. And we're not free to not to choose the consequences of our choice. You see, if we go up in a 10-story building and jump out that window, we know what gravity is going to do when we hit the bottom. You want to know what the reality is? We are the sum of our total choices. Are you choosing to know Jesus Christ? Are you choosing to learn what it is He wants you to do? The wisest thing we can do is to do what Saul did and ask, Lord, who are You? Lord, what do You want me to do? Knowing that God has promised guidance, but it's provisional, because we've got to want it. How is your wanter this morning? Do you want His provision? And if we do, then God promises to guide us with practical guidance. Now let's make an application as we close this message. This is the last Sunday of 2019. Let's consider the question. If God was to give you a personal evaluation when it comes to His will and your performance of it to this date, what would God be saying to you? What is God saying to you right now? Do you know the Lord? Do you know His will for your life? Have you received His so great salvation? Are you a Christian who some kind of way you've lost your way? You're not serving God as you once did. Is your light growing dim, or is it shining bright? Friend, as we come to the end of 2019, are you all that God would have you to be? Or is there some room for improvement? And if there's room for improvement, then when the invitation is given, you know what you need to do. You need to come and surrender yourself to the Lord, that you can have victory in Jesus when you leave here today. Let's pray. Father God, we pray this morning that we've had teachable hearts. We pray this morning, Lord, for the soul who's lost among us. We pray for the soul that needs to be revived. We pray for Your will to be done in this church, both now and forevermore. And, oh Lord, may You pour out Your Spirit upon us, that we will have heard the word of the Lord that has been spoken unto us. And, Father, may our hearts be set afire. May we want to know You more. But more importantly, may we know what it is that You would have us to do, so that when we go through this life, our light is shining bright. Oh, Jesus, would You speak to hearts today? Would You move in a mighty way? In Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Brother Marty, if you want to come. God has spoken to your heart, friend. Don't delay. You come this morning. Right where you are, just stand up and then just start walking forward. Because Jesus is in the house this morning. He is speaking to you. The Spirit is moving. Amen. Oh, Father, do a work in us today. Brother Marty.
288. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior.
Don't forget our watch night service begins at 7:30. We'll be playing basketball, cornhole, and some other games in the Family Life Center. Then come on into the church. By 9 o'clock, we're going to have some board games. I'm hoping Buddy's well enough to bring Sequence so I can whoop him at it. Chess and anything else. A great time for our older folks and our younger folks to get together. And then by 10 o'clock, we'll have a time of testimony, time of preaching. And then about 11:30, we'll start praying for the new year. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back for us in 2020? Amen. Amen. Brother Steve, would you close our service in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we truly again have heard your word preached to us this morning. We have been touched in our hearts about our walk with you. God, I do hope and pray we each examine ourselves, place our life before you, and find out how pleased you are with it. God, I do hope and pray we live our lives to reflect the relationship we have with you, that people see Christ in us and how we live our lives and the things that we do for you and for your glory. And I ask you now, God, as we depart this place, that you keep us in your watch care, that you guide and direct our steps, that you give us opportunities for witness and for service. God, I do pray the desire of our heart is together again here the next time we have opportunity, and that, God, we would worship you in everything we do, in every day of our life. In Christ's name, now, God, I ask and pray these things in you.